Restart the record.
Restart.
All right. Good afternoon. I am Al Wall, the Administrative Law Judge, pursuant to temporary appointment designated by the Office of Administrative Hearings upon the request of the North Dakota Public Service Commission to serve as a hearing officer for the further proceedings to be had pursuant to the Commission's orders dated October 6th, 2010, entered in case number PU-09-676 and case number PU-09-678, respectively granting an advance determination of prudence for the participation of Otter Tail Power Company and Northern States Power Company in certain transmission line projects subject to further requirements. Before proceeding with the consolidated hearing, I will ask the commissioners for the comments and any directions for the hearings. Commission Chairman Tony Clark.
Good afternoon and welcome, and I look forward to a good hearing.
Commissioner Kevin Kramer.
Good afternoon and welcome. We've lived with this one for a while, so I think we're all pretty familiar with all the terms and look forward to a final product.
And Commissioner Brian Cook.
Just thank you all for coming and travel safe on your way home later today. Hopefully later today.
Thank you, commissioners. The record will show that it is a little after 1:30 o'clock p.m., October 26, 2011. The time and date noticed for the further proceedings for a hearing of the respective applications of Otter Tail Power Company and Northern States Power Company for an advanced determination of prudence for their participation in three high-voltage transmission line projects and their respective ownership of the facilities. These transmission lines are a 250-mile, 345-kilovolt transmission line between Fargo, North Dakota, and the northwest quadrant of the Twin Cities, Minnesota, also identified as the Fargo Project. A 200-mile, 345-kilovolt transmission line between eastern South Dakota and the southeast quadrant of the Twin Cities, Minnesota, also identified as the Brookings Project, and a 68-mile, 230-kilovolt transmission line between Bemidji, Minnesota, and Grand Rapids, Minnesota, also identified as the Bemidji Project. Northern States Power Company's application also requested an advanced determination of prudence for a 150-mile-long, 345-kilovolt transmission line between La Crosse, Wisconsin, and the southeast Twin Cities area in Minnesota, and two associated 161-kilovolt transmission lines in the Rochester, Minnesota area, also identified as the La Crosse Project. Otter Tail Power Company's application is case number PU-09-676. Northern States Power Company's application is case number PU-09-678. On October 6, 2010, the Commission entered its orders in each case granting an advance determination of prudence to each company for its participation in the three transmission line projects and its ownership of the facilities, the Fargo Project, the Brookings Project, and the Bemidji Project, and in addition, in case number PU-09-678, granting Northern States Power Company an advance determination of prudence for the transmission lines identified as the La Crosse Project. Each order further required that each company provide additional information concerning the resolution of cost allocation issues relevant to the Brookings Project, including the impact on North Dakota, and that each company provide additional information showing the continued prudence of the Brookings Project and seek the Commission's confirmation of the continued prudence of the project prior to executing a legally binding investment commitment for major procurement and for and construction of the Brookings Project. On April 29, 2011, Otter Tail Power Company and Northern States Power Company jointly filed a compliance filing to provide the additional information requested by the Commission's October 6, 2010 orders. The Commission thereafter, on July 25, 2011, held a hearing to hear and receive evidence of and relevant to the additional information filed. On August 23, 2011, Otter Tail Power Company and Northern States Power Company jointly filed an executed settlement agreement made among themselves and commission advocacy staff to resolve the cost allocation issues relevant to the Brookings project raised by the commission. The commission thereafter, on September 20, 2011, issued its notice of hearing for these further proceedings today to hear and receive evidence relevant to the settlement agreement made among the applicants and the commission advocacy staff, and has duly served and published the notice in accordance with the requirements of statute and the rules of the commission. The notice of hearing specifies that the issue to be considered upon these further proceedings is whether the settlement agreement should be approved and adopted by the commission for confirmation of the continued prudence of the Brookings project. Mr. Simpson, please state your appearance for the record.
Zeviel Simpson on behalf of Northern States Power Company and Otter Tail Power Company.
And Mr. Krivica.
Thank you, Judge Wall. Mike Krivica, also with Briggs & Morgan on behalf of the applicants. And if I might offer, Mr. Chair, Commissioners, and Judge Wall, I did receive an email back from Matt Dorsett, counsel for MISO. He wanted me to express his sincere apologies for the mix up with the phone line. He is indeed in a cab in the middle of a snowstorm in Denver, apparently the mute on his phone was not working, so his email suggests he's not going to try to sign back on, because unfortunately I don't think he can solve the problem of the background noise.
Well, that explains his situation. He can hardly be faulted for it, frankly.
It's a long drive to DIA, too. It's about 40 miles out in the country from what I remember.
It doesn't sound to me like anybody's going anywhere.
I'm not sure why we're laughing. But Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco.
Alana Jeffcoat-Sacco, counsel for advocacy staff. With me is Jerry Lean on advocacy staff.
Mr. Armstrong.
Mitch Armstrong, Special Assistant Attorney General on behalf of the Public Service Commission. With me is Patrick Fahn, staff at the Commission.
Mr. Simpson, you may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. Chairman Clark, Commissioners Kramer and Calk, thank you very much for the opportunity to come and present the settlement agreement. We think that it will hopefully bring finality to this proceeding and address a lot of the issues that were brought up at the last hearing. Essentially, the last hearing reflected the fact that the Brookings project would be a worthwhile project to move forward with as long as the MVP designation was in place. And the remaining issue was essentially, well, if the MVP designation is on appeal, how do we do that? We believe that the settlement agreement shifts that appeal risk onto the applicant group and away from our ratepayers. We really thank advocacy staff's hard work on helping us negotiate the settlement agreement, and frankly their brilliance in coming up with a reasonable structure that allows the project to move forward while still allowing the appeals to not have to be heard. The settlement agreement essentially works through two mechanisms. The first is a cap on ADP cost recovery. That cap on ADP cost recovery essentially would be triggered if the MVP cost allocation methodology is changed in such a way that the costs of the Brookings project are not allocated broadly across the MISO footprint. That would likely occur on appeal if it occurs at all. By imposing the cap, that means the ADP cost recovery mechanisms available to applicants would only apply to those dollars that would have been recovered if the MVP designation had stayed in place or hadn't been altered. So essentially, the ADP would apply only to those dollars under essentially where we are today with the MVP designation. The trigger for the cap is the concept of the material modification. It seemed clear that the underlying premise of the MVP cost methodology is that the costs of a project like the Brookings project are spread broadly across the MISO footprint. And so we believe that if that fundamentally changed, then what would Mr. Lean called a good deal for North Dakota would no longer be the case. However, the MVP cost allocation methodology is complex, and there are lots of things around the edges that could change as we move forward. Those essentially are, you know, what are the main groups that the costs are allocated to, things like that. And in essence, the concept of a material modification is such that if the broad base thing changes, then we don't, then the ADP cap would be applied. But if the fundamental of the MVP cost allocation stays the same, then essentially the facts on the ground haven't changed. The settlement also provides a tremendous amount of discretion for the commission to continue to monitor what's going on with the MVP cost allocation and to determine if a material modification has occurred. There's no way to truly know what's going to happen in the future, and so we essentially defer to your judgment if the facts on the ground have changed in such a way that the cap should be triggered. We think the settlement reasonably addresses the issues that have been brought up in this proceeding, and we look forward to an opportunity to have a conversation with the commission to address any questions or any concerns you may have. The applicant group has along our expert witnesses, should you have any factual questions. MISO is also available to discuss any factual questions you may have as well. Judge Wall had asked that we provide just a brief factual basis for the settlement, so I hope you'll bear with us for a moment. The first...
In the public interest.
the first... first off, I'd like to just say that the FERC has issued its order on rehearing on the MVP order. I'm sure the commission is aware of that. FERC has affirmed and upheld the MVP cost allocation methodology more or less in its entirety. So that one fact that we were missing the last time we were together here has been addressed, and we think that's a very positive step moving forward. Essentially, when we entered into the settlement that was approved in October of 2010, cost allocation methodology was still very much in the air, as would be applicable to the Brookings project. The other CapEx projects had already had their cost allocation methodology approved. When FERC approved the MVP methodology in December, shortly thereafter, we filed for a finding of continued prudence because we believed that the cost allocation methodology was reasonably settled. Shortly thereafter, MISO had conditionally designated the Brookings project as a multi-value project, and therefore we thought there was even more surety that the Brookings project cost allocation methodology had been settled. Then we had a hearing, and the issues that we believe have been addressed by the settlement were raised, and now MISO and now FERC has approved on rehearing the cost allocation methodology. We think we are in a good position to move forward, and we look forward to answering your questions.
Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco.
I really don't have much to add. I just want to reiterate that the concern that staff had at the hearing about continued advance determination of prudence was simply related to whether the allocation methodology was guaranteed or not, and a concern that perhaps if it could change, it would be inappropriate to give advance prudence. And we believe that the settlement addresses that concern very well. There have been a couple of steps, at least one step, the FERC step of denying rehearing, that help assure that the allocation won't change. But if there are other potential changes, we think that the settlement capping that cost recovery under ADP the way it's envisioned today solves that concern, or removes that concern.
You didn't want to speak to his brilliance?
No. But if he has the site for the FERC order, we could take official notice of that.
Yes. I don't have the citation, but it would be the order issued October 21st, 2011, in docket number ER 10-1791.
Give me a second. I might have it here.
Nothing further, Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco.
Nothing further. Thanks.
Mr. Armstrong, it's for the record, it's my understanding that you do not have an opening statement on behalf of advisory staff.
I do not have an opening statement, Judge.
Mr. Simpson, you may proceed.
I just have a couple of house cleaning items, Your Honor. The first is, based on the pre-hearing conference, we've all agreed to enter the settlement agreement into evidence, so I move that the settlement agreement be entered into evidence as Exhibit 21.
Pursuant to stipulation, Ms. Jeffcoat Sacco, do you join in the stipulation for the admission of Exhibit 21?
Thank you.
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Mr. Armstrong?
No objection. Join.
One more.
Pursuant to stipulation.
Correct.
Exhibit 21 is received pursuant to as the stipulation of the parties.
One more housekeeping item, Your Honor. You had requested that we just make a motion to incorporate by reference the record in the proceedings in these two cases up until this day. So I so move.
Ms. Jeffcoat Sacco?
I have no objection.
Mr. Armstrong?
No objection.
The record of the preceding hearings is incorporated by reference and made a part of the record of these proceedings. Mr. Simpson.
I have nothing further, Your Honor. I'm happy to open up the hearing to questions of the commission.
Questions from the commission. This is a little irregular, but we talked about it. The point being that I guess it was at least a consensus that this would work the best in the circumstances, and the idea is that while it's irregular, it's not contrary to procedure, let me say that, that the commission may direct its questions, concerns, whatever, to counsel as appropriate, any counsel. And then counsel will be guided to either to respond to the question if they appropriately can, or to see that some witness is provided to provide factual testimony under oath.
Sure.
So, Commissioner Clark.
Can you give me a sense of the legal lay of the land where this goes from here? We know that FERC has denied the rehearing, and they've put out their final order several days ago. Could you talk about where it goes from here? And I think maybe the MISO witness or someone from MISO might be the best to answer that. But I'd just be curious on what's the timeline now? Where do we go from here?
Certainly. Conceptually, there are still a few issues open from FERC's latest order, so there could considerably be rehearing on those open issues, but none of those majorly impact the MVP cost allocation methodology. It would be up to certain parties, if they choose to now appeal the FERC order, either at the D.C. Circuit or in their home circuit or to the district court. That starts the appeal process, and that can take some time, depending on calendars and things like that.
Okay. And the the filing of Brookings as an MVP is still on track for December, is that?
I believe it correct? To be on track for December. Just to be clear, the settlement agreement accounts for this. Unless and until MISO acts and affirms that the MVP status for the Brookings project unconditionally, the ADP cap sits at zero. So if we choose to move forward, there is no ADP recovery applicable to it. But when MISO does act, and we expect that to happen in December, then the other terms of the settlement will kick in. And Mr. Webb might be able to provide some additional clarification on that.
Yes, I can state that the MISO staff has presented last week to the System Planning Committee of the Board of Directors the full business case surrounding the MVP portfolio, of which Brookings is a critical part, and we intend to proceed to request approval of the full portfolio, as was stated at the December 8th meeting of the Board of Directors. We're confident that we'll be moving forward on that schedule.
Mr. Webb, I'm sorry, let me interrupt, and anybody else who would, other than counsel, who would participate in the discussion. We need to be a little careful of our informality. Yes. Mr. Webb, I have personal knowledge that you have testified previously for these proceedings and that you are advised and have been advised and informed concerning perjury. And, of course, you understand that your continued testimony, which in effect, notwithstanding the informality, is what your participation would be, is subject to the penalties of perjury. Do you understand that, sir?
I do.
Okay. And I don't want to make a big deal about this, and I don't want to discourage the informality, but for further participation by persons other than counsel, if you'll just give me a second to recognize you and to ask you that same question, then you may proceed informally in the sense that it's not necessary for you to proceed in a question and answer fashion, but at that point you may then proceed to, in accordance with any further questioning by the any commissioner or by counsel. All right. With that, Commissioner Clark, let's proceed.
No, I don't have anything further. Thank you.
Commissioner Cock.
I just have one question just to kind of walk through. I think I understood what you told me, but when you were talking about material modification, that basically would be up to the North Dakota Commission to determine that. And then if we determined it was a material modification, then basically you're saying you would default all those or any of that decision process to the commission. Is that the way I understood that? So you wouldn't appeal it if we said this is a material modification?
Commissioner Calk, within the bounds of the concept of how material modification is defined in the settlement, we would defer to the commission's determination.
So how is it defined the best you can in the settlement? Would you determine?
Sure. The material modification is essentially defined as if the broad-based allocation of the cost of the Brookings project is changed, and the settlement provides a couple of examples of what those would be. Perhaps the best one being that something were to happen on appeal such that the cost of the Brookings project are allocated all to Xcel Energy and to Otter Tail. But certainly, since we can't know the future, there could be something that we didn't conceive of.
So how do we look at where who's going to be tracking that the most? I mean, I'm sure I will be tracking it very closely as well, but if who will be the first to hear about one of those changes? Will you tell us, or will we have to come back to you?
Under the settlement agreement, we have an affirmative obligation to provide timely updates when something happens. So we have to vigilantly keep you informed of what is going on in the appeal process.
So timely, quarterly, monthly?
We would assume it as it happens, within a reasonable amount of time afterwards. For example, we'll be preparing a update based on FERC's actions on Friday. Frankly, we just haven't had an opportunity to provide that yet.
Sure. Okay, thank you. That was all that I had.
It's really
– Commissioner Kramer.
It's really what I was going to ask as well. I was probably going to ask it of Ilana with regard to the monitoring piece of it, but – I think you've answered it adequately. I would just say is that I would commend you all because the concerns that clearly we had, especially that I had and that I expressed regarding the shift of risk, the appropriate balance of us wanting to provide the certainty that you all need to sign to get the next step moving, while at the same time sort of moving arm in arm as opposed to leading with our chin, I think you've accomplished, and especially with the cap and the modification piece, it's really very well done. So, and I appreciate you giving them so much credit for it because these are the kinds of things, quite honestly, and this might seem even more informed, but these are the things that Ilana's really good at, and so we appreciate that about her. So thank you for noticing it.
Thank you very much.
You. Any further questions from the commission? Mr. Simpson, anything further for the record?
Only if advisory staff might have some questions or clarifications they would like to have on the
record. I'm getting there.
Okay. Then no, sir.
Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco, anything further for the record?
Only that I should not have forgotten to thank the applicants for being so dedicated and hardworking at running concepts up the corporate ladder. So I do appreciate that. I mean, you did a lot of hard work, but getting things cleared takes a lot of effort, so I do appreciate that as well.
Mr. Armstrong, anything further for the record?
Yes, Judge. I just have two pieces of clarification.
You may proceed.
I mean, this probably goes to Mr. Simpson or Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco. One thing reading through it is a question on my end of, is there any possibility of The settlement agreement is a material modification by FERC or a court. Is there any possibility of MISO either unilaterally or in some way changing the cost allocation without triggering either the FERC change or court change so that we would be covered if MISO changes it also?
Mr. Simpson.
The answer is that MISO certainly retains its authority under Section 205 of the Federal Power Act to make a filing. That filing would, of course, have to be done on a prospective basis, so it's unclear how that would affect the Brookings project. However, that filing would also have to be approved by FERC, so to the extent that the settlement is a FERC refers to a FERC order, that we would believe that that would be covered under the settlement.
Thank you. And then the second one is a question on when the cap kicks in. There's a provision of determination of a material modification. Obviously, that determination has to be made after something has changed. Does the cap kick in at the time of the change, or does it kick in at the time of the determination of a material modification?
Mr. Simpson.
We believe that the language of the settlement agreement would apply to the how it reads is the MVP allocation applicable to the Brookings project immediately prior to the effective date of the material modification. So it would be the effective date of the material modification, not a determination by the commission that a material modification had occurred.
Thank you. That's all I have, Judge.
All right. Let's go around again with regard to the additional information provided. Are there any questions from the commission? If not, Mr. Simpson, anything further for the record?
No, Your Honor.
Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco?
No.
And Mr. Armstrong?
No, Your Honor.
All right. Commissioners, counsel, accordingly, these further proceedings in the cases pending before the commission in case number PU-09-676, Otter Tail Power Company's application, and case number PU-09-678, Northern States Power Company's application, are closed. Thank you very much, counsel.
Thank you.
You're closed, Judge.
I did.
I suppose we can drag this out if you want. If you didn't feel like you got your money's worth coming up to Bismarck, we could.
That's kind of what I was thinking. This is one of those situations, Commander, that if anybody want to try to screw this thing up one more time?